one more.
A $25 gift.
I've been there.
Welcome to All Things Reconsidered, the casual conversation zone where we look a little deeper, talk a little longer, shine a little brighter, and help each other along the way. This is your free speech zone. Reconsider. This week we have Roy from Rio Rancho, New Mexico, Geronimo from Sacramento, California, and Steady from Ojai, California, each of whom is going to be sharing a little bit of what's going on with them, as well as some follow-up from last week's show. So sit back, relax, and give us a listen.
Conversation and talk about a number of issues. How are you doing tonight, Roy?
Well, we've been just fine out here in New Mexico. We've been having a good time. We've been agitating and educating and motivating.
Fantastic.
And taking over the county.
Okay. But what have you done this week to take over the county?
Well, week before last, there was a county meeting, and there was about 100 in attendance.
Okay.
And because of the motivated folks that were there, every time anything came up for vote, progressives got the vote.
Excellent.
We have the rules chairman is a progressive. The communications chairman is a progressive. The chairman of the women's club is a progressive. And there was actually a little discussion about what do we need a women's club for in the Democratic Party, and actually it traces back to the state rules from 30 years ago that a Democratic women's club actually gets an extra delegate to the convention.
Hmm.
So by having a county women's club, why we will have a women, an extra delegate to the convention, will be a lady from the women's club.
Cool.
And since Janice Saxton was elected the president because she volunteered. We will have another progressive at the state convention. So it boils down to, we have just, the progressive wing of the Sandoval County Party has pretty much taken over the party. And even the old-timers have been pleased that some folks are coming in and agitating and stirring things up, and we're just going to take it back. And it's an ambivalence. They're not fighting us. They're just happy that somebody has put some new spark and new blood back in the party. So it's I think it's going to work really well. We've decided we will never have a party. There will not be an election slot that we don't stand a candidate. We might get beat, but by golly, we'll fight them and get beat.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic.
We had the 4th of July parade. Didn't do a whole lot. I had a donkey lined up who was going to lead it. And just kind of ran out of time and decided, we'll take it down. But again, just the attitude we're starting. I'm hearing some folks that were rabid Bush supporters that are almost apologetic Bush supporters now. And there's been two or three folks that I know that kind of, they're just not really happy. So I think there's a lot of good signs out there. I hope.
Well, it's up to us to do that.
We have to. We have to. I was listening to Tom's show this morning, and a fellow that called in from San Diego said, "Hey, I'm in a wheelchair. I've only got use of one arm, but by golly, I can make telephone calls." That attitude, it inspired me.
Yeah.
We just have to get out there and touch base and talk to people and educate people. I was talking to a fellow tonight at a wine tasting, and he said, I talk to so many people, and they just don't have time to even know what's going on. So we have to get out there at every opportunity. I haven't filled up my, every time I pull into a gas station, I make some comment about how happy I am that we have a loyal president, and that's just taking care of the gas prices quite nicely. Just agitating, just a little bit of irritation. I'm pondering, and I've gotten into several good conversations. I've gotten in a couple where they weren't real happy with what I had to say.
Well, based on what you said in last week's conversation about your size and the beard.
Yeah, 6'2", 6'3", I don't care. 60 years old, I don't have to reason.
There you go. Well, tell me something, Roy. One thing I really enjoy out of our conversations is your point of view on things, and I kind of wanted to get your take on what's going on with the whole Roe claim thing that's happening, the treason stuff.
I am so disappointed that the mainstream media has not been all over the story.
Mm-hmm.
They've been out there and they've made a martyr out of Judy Miller, who is nothing but a media whore anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The fellow from the Times, from Time Magazine, he rode the pony and did his thing, and so now he's a hero and he still makes out. I have the feeling that Judy Miller just has too much on these people, that they've given her too much information, and that there is, for one of the better conspiracy theory, because she knows what they have given her as far as the Chalabi stuff and the weapons of mass destruction, all of the run-up to the war, I think they've just made it very clear to her it'll be very well worth her time to keep her mouth shut and go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she gets out, the whole world's going to be open to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Rove is in this thing up to his eyeballs. However, that one little key phrase in the law, he had to knowingly do it. And I think that's a good compound. I think you'll be able to skate on that.
Mm-hmm.
But with what I've seen in a couple interviews on a couple panel shows and a couple of articles that I've read, it appears that Fitzgerald might be going after an obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And if that gets in there, if Katie bars the door, because as you go back to the Nixon White House days, it wasn't the break-in, it was the cover-up.
Mm.
And I hope and I pray that that's the case now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's the same with what happened with Bill Clinton.
Pardon me?
And it's the same as what happened with Bill Clinton. It wasn't the actual act. It was the definition of
yeah, trying to parse and just walk that tightrope.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know if it'll happen. One of the things that bothers me so much is the lack of knowledge of the general population. I was at the wine tasting. I was in a conversation with a fellow, and I was willing to bet him $100 that we could go down to the local convenience store and ask the first 100 people who walked through the door, and I was willing to bet him $100 that no more than 25 people would even know who Carl Rove is, let alone the Valerie Flame problem that he's facing.
Right.
And that bothers me. That says something about how lousy the mainstream media is.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they can get something on him. I'm not that optimistic. And
yeah.
Even if they do, he'll walk away with a pardon anyway. So, it ought to be. It's treason. It's treason. And it is the whole duplicity of the sanctimonious posturing of this administration to lie the whole country into war, and anybody that got in their way, they absolutely were to destroy. And that's what happened in Valley Plain, and that's what happened, again, I don't think Judy Miller got destroyed. I think she's going to come out of this. This is going to be the most money she's ever made on a monthly basis for what she spends in jail, and that's all of it. She'll probably be writing a book, and she'll be on the talk circuit when she gets out, and she will continue to get her inside tips, and she'll probably be writing exposés from prison. So it distresses me that nothing really is going to happen.
Well, I certainly hope that someone is suing to make sure that she can't profit off of this, as they would like to do with every other person that goes to jail.
Well, the trouble with this is that nobody is harmed.
Mm-hmm.
Per se. The Son of Sam is with somebody that is, and she is not guilty of a criminal offense. She is guilty of a civil offense.
Right.
And the Son of Sam is always aimed, the Son of Sam laws, the way I understand it, is based on massive, serious felonies.
Mm-hmm.
Kidnap, rape, murder, torture, the whole bit. So I don't know that she cannot go ahead and profit specifically on this instance anyway. But even if she couldn't make a dime about writing about Carl Rove or Valerie Plank, she will be fed so much information, and she'll be able to write about her jailhouse adventures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it cost Martha Stewart a whole lot to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
She probably made a heck of a lot more money in jail than she would have if she was out.
Yeah, because you wasn't spending it.
That's right.
it may very well be that Judith Miller becomes the next Bob Novak.
She's actually better looking than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she is really slimy, I don't think she's quite that slimy. But she could rise to his level,
mm-hmm.
or sink to his level.
Sink, yeah, I was going to say, yeah. She's the bar of soap that sank at Procter & Gamble.
I don't know. I just don't know. I would like to see it happen. I'd like to see, as Joe Wilson said, I'd like to see Karl Rove frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one can only, you know, be optimistic, and perhaps even the fact that there is this case going on, and it is in the media a little bit, you know.
It's another little thing that's weakening the presidency and his aura.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully maybe that'll keep smudging it, but I really think that that's about all we can hope for.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it just takes a little bit of shine off. But Rove has been in deep dirt before. I, quite frankly, wouldn't be surprised to see Bush firing, hanging out. Oh, he violated our principles. And not one thing's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Any more than when Karen Hughes went back to Texas. Nothing changed. I mean, with the internet and telephones and cellular phones and wireless and instant messaging, Karl Rove doesn't have to be down the hall. He can be around halfway around the world and still do his devious thing.
Right. So the most that we can hope for out of this is continued public embarrassment.
I hope, and distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully Rove is working so hard on keeping himself out of jail that he doesn't have as much time to keep framing the argument for Shrub to get out and distract and mislead and lie
mm-hmm.
the way that he's been able to in the past.
Yeah. Well,
maybe he even has a few sleepless nights. Maybe he's afraid that his boyfriend's going to be found out.
Jeff Gannon and well, that's just a bad picture. Let's shift gears a bit. Tell me something about, you know, again, the whole thing with the Supreme Court. I just heard a little while ago that there could possibly be not only Rehnquist but Stevens that could step down.
I heard that this morning.
Tell me about that. What did you hear?
Just that the rumor is that the man's 85 years old. He is flat worn out. And he just wants to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on, I want to say it was Victoria Jones or
Talk Radio News Service.
Maybe it was on Stephen Show. And then Tom mentioned a little bit. I think I heard it a little bit there. And it's been a little bit on the blogosphere. So I just don't know. It concerns me, although at 85, let's face it, my mother's 85. I know where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes to work, and she likes to stay occupied, but she doesn't want to have to work. And with everything that's coming down, it concerns me that Stevens will go out before the other two confirmation fights get over. My major concern
mm-hmm.
is that the torturer in charge will get nominated and confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And it sickens me to think that a fellow like Gonzalez that writes memos saying that the Geneva Convention is a bunch of quaint rules and can come up with logically rationalizing torture. It sickens me that somebody with that sociopathic personality would be appointed to the Supreme Court. It just sickens me.
Well,
it concerns me.
Mm-hmm. We have a sociopath in charge of the country.
Right.
I don't want to sound, jaded, but I think this many vacancies, one is bad, two is worse, three is going, we could very well see a very repressive government through the next couple of years if that happens. I mean, it's extremely repressive.
See, the trouble with the being on the Supreme Court, it's not a couple of years, it's a couple of decades.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Rehnquist, you know, when he goes down, the scenario I've heard is when he retires, they'll appoint Scalia for Chief Justice. Okay, what the heck? The guy's, you know, he's a fascist.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mental genius, but an ethical midget. And he doesn't understand what this country's about. Anybody that can sit there and say, you want a right, pass a law, does not deserve to sit on the Supreme Court. But he's already there. So, and I don't know how much power the Chief Justice has. Because it takes the whole court to vote to accept the case. I don't know where it comes, you know, I don't know the power of the Chief Justice. So I, you know, if Scalia gets elevated,
mm-hmm.
okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. It's largely a ceremonial head of the judicial branch of government, yeah.
Right.
Right.
So then to replace Scalia just as a sitting member of the judge, of the Supreme Court. Well, I guess they could pick somebody to further right than Thomas. But, you know, right now you've got Rehnquist, Scalia, and Thomas as far as left to right. So you replace number seven on the right side, and everybody moves up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
But the power hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
With O'Connor being gone, that one is a key position. But get a conservative, a moderate conservative, like she was, that just looks at each law or at each case and tries it based on and judges it based on the interpretation of the applicable law. Okay. Might not like some of it, but I won't dislike most of it. And because the ideological drive isn't there. My concern is anybody that, because of their ideology, that will tailor their opinions to fit their ideology. That's my concern. Quite frankly, the Roe versus Wade, at the risk of really sounding chauvinistic or whatever, as an old grandpa, I don't have anybody that concerns me one iota.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely think that probably the greatest thing for this country would be for the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. Because that would infuriate and motivate and fire off such a base that would be the progressive revolution.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say,
it
and
might take a couple, 3 years.
Coming from an old agitator.
To get back up to re-implement Roe v. Wade. But I think if they, and I quite frankly, I don't think they ever will, because if they ever overturn Roe v. Wade,
mm-hmm.
it's like an arsonist that has taken away the gas.
Sure.
They have to have the threat. It's a fundraiser. It's a vote getter. And if it ever went away, everything would come crashing down around their shoulders. And they're in an actual total lose situation if they get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I hope. That's given the American public a lot of credit.
Well, I think, excuse me, I think that is absolutely, again, it's akin to catching Osama.
Right.
Because
if you catch him, well, then you got to do something with
it. And not only that, but there goes the energizing devil.
That's right.
It's so unfortunate.
looks like the, you know, the old story of the dog that always chased the car, and then all of a sudden he caught one, and he didn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Once he caught him, he didn't know what to do with it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if we ever catch Bin Laden, what the heck? Then we won't have any excuse for London.
Yep.
Or Madrid. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in England over the next couple of months. I don't think Blair is going to, I don't think he's going to last his, they were talking about 18 months when he got elected. I don't think he's going to last the 18 months.
Yeah. I
think this is going to blow up. This is going to be it. And
I, you know, I've kind of purposefully avoided the terrorist attack there in London because, you know, the Londoners themselves.
They were back to, I mean, they were going home on the subways last night.
Exactly.
And I saw a clip somewhere. It says, so what do you call four bombs that kill 30 people?
I'm not sure what.
Tuesday in Baghdad.
Tuesday in Baghdad, yeah.
You know, what's the deal?
Well, yeah, they in London are so used to acts of that nature. I mean, with the IRA for so many years. Yeah.
They treated the IRA as a criminal element as far as the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as a political standpoint, they said, what do you want? Let's negotiate what you want. They went after them. They investigated, and they tracked them down as criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Not as an army to be martyred. They were criminals.
Mm-hmm.
They were thugs. But then, on the other hand, they're negotiating. And I think that, you know, I mean, that needs to be happening. It's probably, actually, quite frankly, it's probably happening in Iraq already.
Sure.
Because they want us out.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're not going to get out. I mean, we're not building 14 bases over there so we can leave them behind. Because if we left those 14 bases behind, we'd be leaving the second largest oil reserves in the world behind. And we can't do that. Plus, they have this ideological playground. You know, flat tax. Just everything that the neocons want over here.
Mm-hmm.
They get to experiment and play with it over there.
Sure.
And so it's like telling a kid to leave the dollhouse alone. It ain't going to happen.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just, everything about the whole thing just...
I've got a young man that was active during the campaign last year. He's a paid America Coming Together volunteer. No, but not volunteer because he was a paid staffer.
Mm-hmm.
He was he's a Harvard graduate. He's a Marine. He was in the Marine Corps Reserve, and he was called up. And he's over there on the Syrian border. His squad took 60% casualties, or his platoon took 60% casualties during Operation Matador.
Mm-hmm.
Unarmored, Humvees, ill-equipped, ran out of water at 130 degrees, and they couldn't find a bottle of water.
My goodness.
Now that is disgusting. That is total incompetence and malfeasance.
And yet Halliburton caters in lunches three times a week.
That's right. At $50 a pop or whatever. What do they get for a case of pop? $45?
Yeah, something like that. It's unreal.
I mean, quite frankly, it's off on a different tangent, but they shouldn't be paying a dime for a soda pop. They'll be bringing in water so the guys can get hydrated.
Exactly.
But just the whole, it has been mismanaged, and it's just been a war profiteering gouging.
Yeah, absolutely, without question. Well, Roy, I'm gonna we're gonna have to cut this one off a little bit so we can get it into the show.
That is wonderful.
But stay on top of stuff for me.
Oh, you bet.
So we can do this again.
You bet. We just passed around. We're going. We got a little action meeting tomorrow night where doing a, there's a meeting Sunday, a lady that is very active in our shepherding the voter protection bill through. Going to make a nice presentation Sunday, so I'll probably go down to that and do a little passing, a little agitating, a little educating.
We're motivating.
We just have to consistently, constantly get the message out.
Sure.
And if we can break the ideologues' focus, we can just get them to think. We can just get them to think, maybe dream a little bit, maybe just wonder. Well, then they can make up their own mind. Fortunately, you know, people are smart enough. If we're able to get it reframed and get them to thinking about it as they haven't thought about it, they can change their mind.
Sure.
So it's up to us to just keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to. You know, my new rallying cry, I've got to actually come up with a good rhyming.
Mm-hmm.
Logan, but, you know, elections in '06, investigations in '07.
There you go.
And we have to do it. We have to take back one of the houses because we got to get some investigation.
Absolutely.
We can't let these people steal our country. And that's what they're doing. I will not let it happen. I want my grandson to have the country that I had. And I'm going to damn sure do my damnedest to make sure he does.
Well, I'm right behind you, Roy, 100%.
So we've got you, and we'll see you in the chat room.
Okay.
Talk to you.
Have a great night.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
The telephone is the most effective business tool your company has, which is why you never use it to make personal calls. Working at your important job already fills your soul to brimming with joy and fulfillment. So why would you need to take 2 minutes just to hear the sound of your child's voice during the day? Besides, you can gossip about the screwed-up romances, financial situations, and substance abuse of your coworkers and boss during your ample 15-minute lunch break. The idea of using the phone at work to discuss such trivialities never enters your mind. And why would you want your company to absorb the cost of calls to 1-900-BUSTY? You wouldn't. That's why you're happy to respect your company's rules regarding personal calls.
Going to go back into the... Okay, now we are recording. I'm on the line again with Geronimo from Sacramento, correct?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Let's start over. Okay.
I know the feeling.
It's been one of those days, man. It's been a long day.
Yeah, it's been one of those weeks for me.
Okay, well, I'm on the line presently with Geronimo from Sacramento, California, and we're going to do a little follow-up on the conversation that we had last week regarding a number of things, but before... we get started into all of that. Just wanted to sort of open it up, and you know, what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, well, I want to give a further report on the book as I finished it.
Okay.
The book is They Thought They Were Free, the Germans, 1933 to 1945.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know, the author, he got away from reporting what you know, all the citizens in Germany said, and he started talking about his conclusions and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Which I didn't appreciate that at the end of the book, because I like to make my own conclusions. But he did say a couple of things, which concerned me, because what was going on in Germany seems to be paralleling what's going on here.
Sure.
And one of the quotes is, men, not just Germans, cannot bear the pressure of life.
Huh.
Well, Kenya, it's hard. Hitlerism was a flight to dogma, the dogma of the tribe, the dogma that gave every man importance only insofar as the tribe was important, and he was a member of the tribe. And this reminds me of the mentality of the conservatives. The Germans were, when Hitler found them, emotionally undernourished. Life in a besieged city, even relaxation, was unbelievably rigid. And I find the conservatives rigid. I do.
Sure.
Happiness is dismissed as unattainable, and its pursuit then disdained as decadent, which is like what the conservatives, you know, accuse us of being, like, decadent. But here's the important sentence. But it is the duty bearers, not the pleasure seekers, who go berserk.
Hmm.
And I think that's so true, that people who have a lid on and are stifled and, you know, and really control themselves, and once they have a chance to break loose, they go over the top. He describes the German personalities as somber, heavy. He describes a German man as sober, a heavy, heavy man. And that's how I kind of, you know, experience that. His personality under pressure is just as excessively submissive as it is assertive. Its essence is excess, which I found also true. And the Germans are big on discipline and order. And then a quote here, it doesn't matter whether you call it a democracy or a dictatorship or what, as long as you have discipline and order. And that's how I feel about the conservatives, like their thing is discipline and order. You know, not flowing life and self-expression and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So that's kind of my last comment on that book there. But I've been thinking about the mentality of the conservatives lately, and it's really, that's part of the reason why I've been feeling kind of sad in the last week, just realizing how their life is so, it's so narrow, it's like they were brought up in a vice or something, to say, and then they feel very threatened by our ability to express ourselves. And I have a quote from another book here, which is the more the way I think, and I think that, you know, liberals think, is attaining the goal of a full, happy life, ripe with experiences well used, means that each of us will become a paradox, free yet constrained by necessity, shrewd yet innocent, open to others yet self-reliant, strong yet able to yield, centered on the highest values yet able to accept imperfection, realistic about the suffering existence imposes on us, yet full of gratitude for life as it is.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's real nice, and like, that definitely wasn't going on in Germany then, you know. So, anyway, so I'm kind of done with all that kind of book stuff. So what, you know, the thing that's been kind of bothering me lately, there's a number of things, like, you know, on my menu of things bothering me.
Okay.
One of them is I'm fearful of the government messing with Posse Comitatus, which is against, you know, it's a law against the standing army on U.S. soil.
Okay.
That's kind of been breached, and I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about the upcoming Supreme Court fight.
That's going to be a nasty one.
Yeah, because there's so many of them. There's, okay, first it was O'Connor, then I hear Rehnquist is going to resign any day. And then today I heard there's a new one, right? Stevens?
Who? Stevens?
A third one. So somebody.
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of awful.
No, I didn't hear about that.
Well, I think I heard that today. And
I will look into that.
And then another thing is mad cow disease, which is, you know, bugging me because it's just more evidence of how the government is not taking care of stuff they're supposed to take care of. They're supposed to regulate, you know, our food and that kind of stuff. So that's
definitely our view anyway, right?
Well, who wants to get, what is it? What's it called? Mad cow disease? Who wants to get that? I mean, you know, I mean, because you can't be. And the last thing I want to tell you, it's a surprise because it's good news.
Okay.
But just don't forget to ask me about the good news.
I won't forget to ask you about the good news. Tell me about what's going on. You first mentioned about the
Posse Comitatus.
Yeah, tell me about that. Said it's been breached?
Okay. Deputy Defense Secretary Gordon England, like, I don't even know his name. There's so many players to keep track of. But this past June 24th, he signed this document called The Strategy for Homeland Defense and Civil Support.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers organizing troops, developing weapons, and assigning missions on U.S. soil. And the thing that, okay, first of all, that raised a red flag. But the other reason why it raised a red flag is that they released this report without what they usually do is having a formal news conference or some kind of briefing that accompanies a major defense policy statement. So
uh-huh.
They're trying to, like, slip this under the radar, like, as they are wont to do. you know, like there's a big distraction going on over there. Like, don't notice this really important stuff that we're trying to put in. So, the Posse Comitatus Act was enacted in 1878. It's a legal barrier against sending our forces into the U.S. streets. And the reason it was passed was because they perceived there was a misuse of federal troops after the Civil War to supervise elections in the former Confederate states.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been amended from time to time to include a military role in putting down insurrection.
Mm.
And that's what bothers me, because you know how these guys, they define any law the way they want, they define any word the way they want, and who's to say that they're not going to think that, you know, like the big protest is coming up in D.C. September 24, 25, 26, you know, to paint that as an insurrection, you know, that kind of bothers me.
Yeah. That's absolutely possible.
Well, you know how they came down on protesters in Miami and in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been concerned about U.S. becoming a police state, like, for a while. One of the latest things is that the Pentagon has established a new administrative structure because they're thinking about, you know, the growing contribution of the military to Homeland Defense, and they set up the Northern Command in 2002 to oversee military operations in the U.S. And they're putting together an intelligence agency that teams the FBI and domestic police agencies, and this really bothers me. I know Rummy went around to a number of cities a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, talking to police chiefs and, you know, inflating the local police. So they think they're still part of the, you know, the federal. I mean, it's just bothersome to me. I just don't like the idea of, you know, military messing with our police or having anything to do with them or military being on it. So that's about all I know about that, but that's something I'm going to keep my eye on.
Well, I think it's entirely, yeah, and absolutely, I think it's entirely possible that there's been plans in the works to completely clamp down on everything.
Well, yeah, that's...
You know, just like there was a plan in the works for the Patriot Act 1 month following, you know, a 22,000-page...
Well, they already had it written, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was sort of absurd. It was absolutely already written. There's no way that it couldn't have been. As you know, because I mean, it was so long that the senators and congressmen didn't have time enough to read it before they even voted on it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you ask them, none of them actually ever read it. But you know, it you know, I'm sure their job, you know, I don't want to say their job is, but they probably see their job as having a contingency plan for absolutely anything that could possibly ever happen.
Well, did you hear the latest about the California Guard spying on grandmothers on Mother's Day?
Now, I heard a little something about it. Tell me about that.
Too, but apparently, okay, I heard a little bit more that, this was exposed quite by accident. And then someone said, hey, I wonder what's going on in the rest of the country. So they called around, and the Guard has been doing this for like a couple of years now.
Wow.
That's what I said.
It's, well, if that's come out in California, imagine what may have happened in more conservative, tight-lipped places.
Well, that's what I said. Someone called around to various states, and I don't know which ones they talked to, but the same thing is going on with their guard. That's what was happening here. It's like what I think that little blurb I read on the net.
I'm going to have to inform myself. I've been very busy this week with other things and haven't... been as up on the news as I would like to be.
Yeah, me either. Plus, you know, my brain has been kind of mushy lately, so it's been hard for me to think about it.
Well, you shouldn't cook it as much.
I didn't. Well, the main thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm concerned about, is Flame Rovegate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me what's going on with that.
Well, you know, first, because it's kind of confusing what's going on now, like, I want to get this in order about, like, what happened here.
Okay.
George Bush and co. told a large number of lies to launch the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And among these lies was the claim that Iraq had tried to purchase yellow case uranium from Niger. So somebody, I think it was the CIA, sent Ambassador Josie Wilson III on a fact-finding mission to Niger. And then, you know, and he came back and said, look, there's nothing happening there, they're not doing it. So Bush and co. tried to cover up his report, So Wilson wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times.
Okay.
So then, like a few days later, Ambassador Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, was outed in the press by Robert Novak as a CIA operative.
Wow. Okay.
Now, this is a serious felony. This is treason. In fact, I even think Bush Sr. said that it was treason when it came out. And then Patrick Fitzgerald, the U.S. attorney in Chicago, was appointed special counsel, and he began an investigation. Now, this Fitzgerald guy, he's a Republican, and, you know, that kind of sets off alarm bells. I don't know if he's a patriot, if he can put country above party, but anyway, that kind of bothers me. But what's going on now is the master narrative of this sorry affair is it's not about the lies about the war. It's not about the cover-up of Ambassador Wilson's findings. And it isn't even about the identity of the leakers. It's about the First Amendment issues of sending reporters to jail. And that's what's concerning me. It's because the Bush administration is changing the narrative, which they tend to do. They change it to something else. Like, remember W and his Air National Guard misconduct?
Yeah.
Ended up being a story about paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then John Kerry was a war hero, and the Swift Liars truth came along and just totally turned that inside out, so I'm concerned about that. And the players in this little story, there's Robert Novak, who's, I don't know who he worked for. Is he a journalist? Or, see, I don't watch TV, I don't know.
His cover is the Washington Post.
Oh, okay.
And it's my understanding, though, that through a number of different sources, that he has been, employed by the Central Intelligence Agency. At least there was a lot of things pointing that direction. So, if that's any help.
Well, Novak and Carl Roblek go back, you know, away, and. He acted essentially as the White House newspaper water boy by publishing her name, you know, Valerie Plame, in July of 2003. But he hasn't gone to jail, or I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he, like, leaked everything he knew to the grand jury. But what's going on now is that these other two reporters involved, Matt Cooper, who I believe is a reporter for Time Magazine, and Judith Miller, who is a reporter for the New York Times.
Okay.
And these two people have been protecting high-ranking sources who sought to use news media to punish the real whistleblower, which was Ambassador Wilson. And Judy Miller is, I just find her despicable because she acts like a GOP operative. And nothing more than a lying stenographer for the neocons, because she's the one who was talking to... and he was telling her about, oh yes, you know, Iraq has all these WMDs and, well, you know, she's reporting all this stuff, but it wasn't true, you know. And she just acted like a full-time propagandist and a government mouthpiece.
Yeah, she is definitely, yes.
She's what?
I said yes, she is definitely a mouthpiece.
The thing is, I mean, she, you know, she's in prison now, like, and she's being presented as a martyr for free speech. And you go to jail and protect the source, and you get to be a hero. But the thing is that you get to be a hero for the free press, and the thing is that just the opposite is true, because the real whistleblower here, the one using his right to free speech to expose lies, was Wilson. And Judy was just simply on the side of those who are trying to punish Wilson for whistleblowing. So she didn't go to jail in the name of truth and jail in the name of government propaganda. So that's the way it's being presented now. That's why I wanted to make it clear that, you know, what's going on here is treason. And this whole new reporter thing is just sort of a distraction. I don't know why they're... Well, I know why they're concentrating on that, because they don't want to concentrate on what's really going on. Now, recently it's been revealed that Carl Rove was the source of the leak. And I read this recently. that Karl Rove is a grandson of Karl Heinz Roverer, who was a partner and senior engineer of some German company, Roverer Süddeutsche Ingenieurbüro or something, during the 30s, and they built this concentration camp in Nazi Germany.
Wow.
But you didn't know that. And, you know, and this just makes me shudder because here's another parallel to Nazi Germany. You know, Karl Rove's grandpa, and then there's, like, study his grandpa, Fritz Bush, and of course, you don't know about him, or most of us do, and, you know, trading with the enemy and all that. Thing is, if Rove is a leaker, this is bad because Valerie Plame, she was heading this company in Europe, which, you know, purported to be selling something, I don't know what, but kind of let it be known that they were open to selling weapons, you know, to terrorists and you know, subversive types like that. And because they were trying to find terrorists and those who wanted to buy WMDs. And if Rove did leak this, he has apparently caused the death of at least 70 CIA assets.
70?
In Europe. Well, that's the one figure that I read recently. I don't know if I can trust the source because it's on the internet, and I can't necessarily trust everything that I see on the internet, but that's like one figure, and that's a lot of people. Now, Rove can be prosecuted under the 1982 Intelligence Identity Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this act?
I've heard something about it, but tell us about it.
Well, I didn't know about it, but I looked it up, and it's this law carries an automatic mandatory sentence of like 10 years to life imprisonment. And what's explosive about this is that if Rove reveals that W told him to do this, then W's automatic immunity shield will be removed, and W can be prosecuted for the murder of his agent.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that because just because the you know if Rove even gets that far, my concern would be at this point making anything stick to anybody because
talk about the Teflon administration.
Yeah, they remind me of what is that? John Gotti.
Oh yeah.
The Teflon Don, because I couldn't ever make anything stick to this guy, you know. And it seems to be the same way with the current administration. It seems like, you know, these guys could literally shoot someone in public and
yeah.
There would be something that would be an extenuating circumstance.
Yeah.
For instance, oh, that was a terrorist.
Right.
You know, or mm-hmm. something.
I know. Well, look at the Downey season, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that was a smoking gun, but, you know, I guess people are still working on it, like John Conyers, but, you know, I don't know if it's going anywhere.
Well, they have worked very hard to squash it. And, you know, it took up over a month of consistent hammering at the media
to get them to even mention it.
Yeah, to get them to even mention it. And then it was on the news hot and heavy for 2 days, and then it disappeared again.
You know, I'm so jaded about this bunch of criminals that stole our country that my first reaction to the London bombing was, oh, it's getting too hot for roll over here, and they did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, they still call me a tinfoil hat conspiratist, but you know, I mean, but I wouldn't put it past them to do something like that. I mean, really, and I just hate having this conversation about, you know, supposedly this is our government we're talking about, but I mean, I just never seen such an incredible, you know, I mean, I mean, like these guys, I just cannot believe it. I mean, I think
based on some of the things that are coming out that, anything is absolutely possible. Several of the people that I've read have said that it, you know, money is not the ultimate goal here. It's not anything but power. It's all about the power.
Power, yeah.
And you know, obtaining it and maintaining it and keeping it,
yeah.
You know, for who knows how long. So,
yeah.
You know. Who knows what these people could be up to or what they'd be capable of. You know, I would like to think that they wouldn't do that, but...
Yeah, but, you know, they've crossed every line that I ever thought that couldn't be crossed.
Yeah.
Just like what happened to the people in Germany.
As far as I'm concerned, the conspiracy, the planning of and execution of the war in Iraq was a criminal conspiracy. There was no justification, and it was trumped up, and to me, that's a criminal endeavor.
Yeah, me too.
So to knowing, just knowing that alone opens the door to so much other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if you believe that, which the memos obviously confirm,
yeah,
then, you know, pretty much anything's fair game after that, in my mind.
I'm with you.
You know?
I agree.
Hundreds of thousands have died over there. You know?
You know, I think what's going on now is Rove is placing himself because he undoubtedly knows he's guilty of a federal crime. But
mm-hmm.
he wants it to be less than treason because, you know, they're not ever going to be able to pull off the administration.
It wouldn't be, yeah, they wouldn't.
So they're going to do something tricky. I mean, you know, even, you know, I mean, the words put out by his lawyer have been parsed and very carefully worded, you know, for the, you know, like he didn't knowingly, you know, reveal an operative's name. Or like maybe he said, oh, it's Valerie Wilson instead of Valerie Plain or something like that. And what's kind of bugging me is that my understanding is that the federal investigators are making the case for perjury, you know what I'm saying? Because maybe, you know, Rove told this person who told that person, maybe it's, you know, first person, second person, third person, or, you know, just some kind of, and I'm thinking, no, not perjury, treason.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, I'm with you there. I think, additionally, along those lines of thinking, that, you know, they're going to focus on, they're going to pull the same, as much as I hate to say this, they're going to, in my mind, I'm thinking that the possibility is that they'll try to pull the same thing that was done with Bill Clinton, which is the definition of is.
Right.
And I think it'll be the definition, it'll be the definition of knowingly. Because you have to knowingly reveal the identity. That's the law. That's in the law. And if he did not know that she was a secret agent.
Yep. How could he not know? He's right in the heart of power, you know. I mean,
right. And I'm with you. I'm just saying that this could possibly be part of the defense.
Yeah.
I'm not playing devil's advocate.
Oh no, I understand. But I've been thinking along the same lines. Yeah.
You know, because basically what will happen is any rabbit they can pull out of the hat, you know, is what will get pulled out of the hat. And it's unfortunate because, you know, there are citizens who have died because of that, and that is absolutely reprehensible, as I've said before. So, you know, there's no way around that.
Well, you know, treason to me is, like, a really big deal because I was alive when the Rosenbergs, you know, were accused and tried for treason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very big deal. I mean, it just strikes to the heart of, you know, I mean, you just don't do that. You just do not betray your country. You just don't, and it's beyond the pale. You don't do it. Don't do it. And, like, since that time, there have been other people, like, oh, I don't know, CIA agents or double agents, and, you know, it appeared in the newspaper. But nothing as big as the Rosenbergs, as I recall. But to me, if, you know, if Rose did this, this is as big as the Rosenbergs, because he's right in the center of power. It isn't like he's, like, some CIA agent or FBI, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
mm-hmm.
If he gets away with this, this would be the most incredible outrage. It's unspeakable if he gets away with treason. I mean, that's just my feeling.
Well, I certainly hope it doesn't happen, but based on the history, you know, we probably better brace for the possible, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Of course.
Well,
Oh, I got to tell you the good news.
Okay, what is the... I was about to ask you, what is the good news?
Okay, well, the good news is that a team of Japanese researchers say they developed a potent new drug that blocks the HIV from entering human cells and causes almost no side effects.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. And I'm so glad that the Japanese did it, because if the Americans did it, well, they'd charge $1 million a dose, and that nobody would get, you know. And this is going to be good for Africa, because, you know, AIDS is devastating them. So, the drug is called A as in apple, K as in kangaroo, 602.
Okay, AK-602.
And it was unveiled last Tuesday at the International Congress on AIDS in Asia. And you'll notice that, you know, they named it like some letters, not after, you know, they were not real egotistical like the Americans and the Europeans, but naming it after the guy, you know, whoever Fujiyama's big discovery was. All right, so I was just really, really thrilled to hear that, and thrilled that the Japanese did it, so, like, you know, maybe there's a chance for people to get
that. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
you know, it would be a wonderful thing to see the end of that scourge before I die. You know, the pestilence upon mankind.
Yeah.
You know, especially
since...
I've
had so many friends who have died of AIDS.
Yeah.
And it's just generally frightening to the populace as a whole.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic news.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
I'm going to have to go online and find a link to that, put that on my site.
Well, you know, where I got it from was 365gay.com.
Okay, 365gay.com.
Yeah, and it's also on the government site, but it gives the formula, and it's just, you know, it's just quick to sleep, and who knows that stuff, except, you know, a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not up for that.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Well, that is wonderful news. In light of all the other negative stuff that we've talked about, to hear that there is possibly the you know, coming the end of an era with that would be wonderful. That would be fantastic. Okay, well, you know what? It's been a fantastic conversation with Geronimo.
Oh, I hope so, because I'm just not really feeling on my game here, but, you know.
You know what?
I did my best.
You're on top of your game, whether you want to be or not.
Well, of course, that's you, Zap. You're
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, it's been great talking to you, and we'll do it again next time.
Great.
Okay, have a great night.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye.
One of the pleasures of the modern workplace is the delightful opportunity to deal with customer complaints. Complaints are always welcome because an employee loves being told he's done something wrong, especially when it's brought loudly to his attention by a righteous customer. That's right, Mrs. Flassadini. I was born out of wedlock, and I do stand around with my thumb up a bodily orifice. Receiving a complaint is such an honor that your well-meaning boss is eager to let you, his prized worker, handle it. You mean I get to tell that guy with the vein throbbing in his forehead why we forgot to put his oil cap back on? Joy! He's sure to have a good chuckle when I explain the bottle of Thunderbird the boss had at lunch. Every customer is sure to leave satisfied, even when all you can say is oops to his complaint.
Okay. All right. And I'm on the phone with Steady from Ojai, California, and had a wonderful interview with Steady in the first edition of All Things Reconsidered, and we're on the phone back with him tonight, and I believe to start off with, we're going to recap our last conversation and move forward from there. So how you doing, Steady?
I'm doing good. How was your fourth there, Zappa?
It was fantastic. Fantastic. What a joy to live in a country as free as ours, eh?
Yeah, it is, and that's actually the day when we celebrate our freedom. And I actually took part in a local parade here in Ojai. It's one of the only ones in the county, and it's been going for 20 years with a part of a pretty diverse peace contingency, I might add. You had all walks of life. We were all carrying our flags and colors and signs and horns and gongs and drums, and we had doubled our numbers by the time that we had finished the parade from the time it started.
We were just coming screaming off the sidewalks. And
yeah. I was at front. I used to be in the Navy, and I wore my whites and marched with a cardboard flag that said, support our troops, bring them home. And I was unaware of all the developments behind me because they wanted me to be in front with the color guard, if you will, even with my cardboard flag. So we had a tremendous reception. And I actually sent a copy off to the Ventura County Star talking about another something local that I'm bringing to Ojai, is the movie Inside a Rock.
Okay.
Done by Mike Shiley. And I learned of that movie at the chat room where I met you also, so pretty informative chat room and talk radio show that Tom Hartman has going there.
Absolutely.
Just a plug for Tom and for Mike Shiley and the movie Inside a Rock, because I think people need to see it. And couple that with Henry Waxman's reports on rebuilding Iraq and U.S. management of funds, which came out, before we had our last discussion, that's where I got the statistics from regarding the hundreds of pallets of cash, hundreds of tons of $100 bill notes that have gone to Iraq without oversight. I didn't have the source at that time, but that was actually Representative Waxman from California, and his staff went over like 30,000 pages of documents.
Wow.
And released a 25-page report. It's astonishing.
It sounds like some of you would dig up on some left-wing conspiracy website, but actually that was from a Democratic congressman.
Yeah, going over Federal Reserve documentation and what was the other one? I forgot the other parts of Federal Reserve and Department of Defense. 15,000 pages from each department there.
Wow.
That his staff went over.
And they were able to correlate certain activities together. They did some pretty good detective work, man.
And I mentioned the investigative bodies to look forward to being allowed to ask their questions. And they're closing in not only on Cheney, as I mentioned, but on Karl Rove. And to give a little fun thing, moving away from the local stuff that's happening, but that stuff kind of happened here as a result, the movie coming here as a result of meeting you and Tom Hartman.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have known about Mike Sally in the film. And it turns out that a local film school here in Ventura County has some type of work involved in the post-production.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a nice little hype for the local work involved on an international project.
Well, tell me about Mike Sally. Does he have a website? Is there any way to access this film? Is it out on VHS or DVD? Or?
You can actually get both the VHS and or DVD, and the website for that is www.InsideArockTheMovie.com.
Inside a rock. I'm writing this down to make sure that I have a link up on the website also.
It's a fantastic film.
So that listeners can go there.
The movie.
Mm-hmm. InsideArockTheMovie.com.
Yes.
Okay. And that's Mike Shiley.
Yes.
Well, we may try in the near future to get him on and do an interview about this movie. Have you seen the movie?
I've seen it. I bought it. I had it FedExed here and watched it, and I've shown it. I've seen it myself 3 or 4 times and shared it with friends, and I just have to say it's one of those things that people really need to see.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take Mr. Shiley's life-threatening documentation on film of everything from pop-up weapons markings to being the main gunner on an Abrams tank,
mm-hmm.
and a dump at the Anaconda base out there and the absolute fraud, waste, and abuse, and you couple that with Henry Waxman's report, I think people are going to get a sense of what it is that some of us have been bird-dogging all along. This isn't really exactly what they said it was going to be, and it's pretty far from over.
Mm-hmm. they told us that, too. I mean, that's the funny part. That's the one thing they've been truthful about, is that there's no intention of breaking up the crime syndicate anytime soon.
I can jump right back into that crime syndicate in the sense of some type of strategic flanking seminar regarding, the actual financial situation going on internationally.
Okay.
There was a conference in Berlin just the last week of last month,
mm-hmm.
Where, you had distinguished guests from science and politics representing countries like Russia, and these are inclusive, I'm not just guessing, Russia, China, India, Egypt, Israel, Hungary, Croatia, Poland, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, Italy, France, United States. And this was in preparation for all these countries and their voices being heard at the G8, which is going on right now
right.
in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about the credit worthiness of the United States by way of the dollar and the unemployment that is growing worldwide and pointing to the structure of globalization and how it's intolerable and unsustainable in what they're doing. So you see, the joke was, I heard it last night, where Chirac said, "Hey, man, all this British food is just stinking up the menu." Something like that. And it was offensive, but Blair commented back and said, "That's just undiplomatic, and I'm not going to go there." It was funny. But if you didn't know about this seminar where the European nations are actually talking about an EU without Britain,
because mm-hmm.
they're not really, their monetary portion is not included in that, and their currency has always been the strongest over there,
sure.
and they just those type of, again, those type of bodies, conferences and things that are going, hey, what's really going on? We got to take a distance here. We're holding hundreds of millions, in some cases, hundreds of billions of U.S. treasuries, and the president's saying they're worthless. What's going on? You know, let's talk about this. And it's really going back to an FDR program with fixed exchange rates and 25 to 50 year treaty protection and agreements amongst these nations so you can get yourself out of the hole and pay your sovereign debt. Well, that's what we need to do, at least focus on. If the dollar goes down, everyone goes down, and that's not good. FDR set it up as the, you know, the currency of world reserve, or the world reserve currency. And in order to save face, we have to make good on all those reserves that people have bought. It's kind of complex, but it's really that simple, in a sense. That we've issued these IOUs, and they are good. They're based upon the sovereign ability of the United States to repay.
Right.
And we have to repay them.
And we have to repay them. And, but the interesting thing about that also now is that the purchase of our debt is escalating very rapidly.
I mean, they own it.
Exactly. You know, it goes, when I read, the more I read about the power that China has over us economically, the scarier it gets. I mean, it's you know, this is a country that is now attempting or to buy or has bought Unocal here in the United States.
Yeah.
I think they're attempting to, I think there are some congressmen who are attempting to move against that idea. But the Chinese is basically essentially saying, hey, you're the free market capitalist people. Don't you leave them alone. You know, if we want to buy them, we should be able to.
That's a great point. It's almost an irony. Right, thrown back in the face of the globalists with their globalist policies being the means of their demise. They're looking at it saying, hey, anyone else can do it, but you're China. Hold on, you're a country. You can't play by that. No, that's our game. We make you subservient to banking interests. You're not in this game. That's essentially what these guys, that's their rules. I mean, the banker's golden rule is he who has the gold makes the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And China, if you look at China, people have this false sense of a real threat. In China, if you look at them, 70% of their population is still desperately poor.
Exactly.
The same with India. And I think within China and India, in the whole region, Russia as well, and all the Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, all that stuff going on in there, they realize that their populations have been exploited, and they're directing it back to, hey, we want to take care of our people, we want science, we want new equipment, we want to grow. And they love the sound of 25 years of development. It's just like, that's like music, that's like a symphony when the bombs are going off. It's just, it's coming, and it, like I said, it's incalculable. But it can go for real good. It could get for a lot worse. But we're involved in the worst here. It's not going to happen overnight, one way or the other. And God,
I think the actual prospect of a World War III Armageddon is not quite as scary or insidious as an economic war, if you will. And I think that we're right on the brink of that.
Well, you know, the Homer Marshak was the Nazi jurist or economist, I'm sorry, of Adolf Hitler, and they're the ones who actually proved it and documented it, that it's cheaper to kill people through economic means than using bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Bullets are too expensive, and you can actually get labor out of these people and harvest their body parts for certain applications in industry, which will provide a profit. Now, that's fascist economics.
Absolutely it is. That is the epitome. That is the definition.
these are really their policies.
Yeah.
This stuff is in black and white and has been part of the record. You know, it's kind of a taboo to say it. Now, I know people are pretty liberal with these fascist terminologies and labeling where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, we're not kidding here. This is it.
I know.
This is what we fought a war against and FDR defeated. And if, you know, if he had lived, he probably would have rooted out most of the colonialism, if not all of it, in the Western Hemisphere, which was original foreign policy of the United States, i.e. Monroe Doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'll bring it to a close a little bit by bringing it back home with the veterans and the wars and stuff. And there's a lot of Republicans who are pretty upset right now that they've been forced to go with the organization, the administration bill for the Veterans Administration, which is a measly, let's say 65% of what they projected they needed.
Yeah.
And for the veterans now, the stated goal of this CARES, C-A-R-E-S, it's PricewaterhouseCoopers, $9.6 million or $10 million one-year contract to promote the closing of bases for real estate speculation. The CARES is an acronym for Capital Asset Realignment for Enhanced Services.
Wow.
Okay. And that is the goal. Now, this is PricewaterhouseCoopers, contracted by the Bush administration to justify and hold public meetings for closing of military bases, specifically VA hospitals, for real estate speculation. This is, again, another outrage. This is
now, how long has this study been going on? Is it presently going on? Or
it's going on right now, and I think it was only initiated last month.
Okay.
So they got 13 months to try to lobby for this, but they're talking about,
is there any specific, for people who are listening out there who have a VA hospital in their locality, is there any way to become more informed about this? Just Google CARES and PricewaterhouseCoopers, I guess?
I would do that. This is kind of like the Waxman report. This is stuff that I just kind of caught up on after the 4th, and I don't have specifics, but I can give you a few cities, New York, in Pittsburgh, Walla, Washington is one listed here, Waco, Texas. I know the one in Long Beach, which is around Southern California here, is being threatened, which is a major one. I've actually had services for, ear and nasal stuff while I was in the military, done at that hospital. And it seems substandard then. It's not like they're shutting down these risky places that the politicians frequent and pass through the portals of. These hospitals have run down. They've been there for 35, 40 years. They haven't got new equipment, and they're just getting by.
Yeah.
It's not anything fantastic that they're going to... They want to blow the thing up and build houses on these facilities. That's what they want to do, and it's just... I'm sorry, I'm getting a little carried away.
That's okay. This is not the show where I cut you off and you start getting crazy.
I appreciate that. I have a certain amount of comfort in that. I'm trying to contain that generally because when you talk to people, this is what I found, is if you engage their emotion, you will absolutely never touch their reason.
Right.
And all you'll get is conflict. So I think if we can speak well or articulate our points, which I've been working on for years now, with the goal of reaching people out through MP3 and internet.
Sure.
Starting with NAFTA. I'm excited about NAFTA. I'm more excited about your audio blog. I really am.
Well, as time goes on, I'm excited about it too. But as time goes on, and spreading this farther and farther and wider, but my concern also, it really sticks in my craw that the administration is so flippant when it comes to veterans soldiers who have done their time. The hypocrisy is really just flabbergasting. And people continue to support this character, but despite, just the cuts to the VA, the requirement of using private insurance at VA hospitals for veterans, the increase in co-pays that happened over the last year.
That one right there, people, it's only $5 or $6, but each time they go and a certain prescription to get a prescription, they know. That's something. You do that right there. That's common folks stuff that they're going to get right there when they go to the doctors. It is
insane. It is insane. And what we found, I'm not going to reveal who I work for or how I'm connected, but I am connected to veterans on a daily basis. and you know, and people like myself who work with vets and with homeless vets, you know, each year the resources keep getting strapped tighter and tighter and tighter, and you know, so it gets frustrating. It gets very frustrating. But you know, hopefully, you know, I mean, and it may get worse before it gets better, but at least, you know, there are those of us who are now speaking out and trying to affect some change. So,
Robert, you're definitely on that note, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with you.
Well, you know, just as an aside to all the listeners, Freddie is a very articulate gentleman, and I look forward to keeping you on the show for as long as possible. We may both be in prison doing it.
Well, that's a welcome invitation to anyone who might have that or think they have that type of authority. Bring it on.
I hear you. But, well, you know, I really appreciate your time today. And
likewise, my friend.
And we will do this again very shortly. But, you know, so what we'll do is get together again in another week. But, I'm really grateful that you have been a part of this program again today, and I certainly hope that you stay on top of all this stuff for us, because we need guys like you out in the field, man.
I enjoy sharing it. Thank you, Zach. I'm excited about your medium.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, have a great evening.
You do the same.
Okay. Bye.
And that concludes this week's edition of All Things Reconsidered. Please join us again for another installment of people just like yourself working to make a change in the world. You can reach us online at www.mwbr.net/ZAPPA4Prez, ZAPPAFORPREZ. In the meantime, remember the words of Mohandas Gandhi: you must be the change you wish to see in the world. This is Bruce Birch for All Things Reconsidered.